Hi, this is Justin Halliday, the creator of Hero Kids, and you're listening to The Family Gamers.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 33 of The Family Gamers Podcast.
Hello!
I am Anitra.
And I am Andrew. We are your hosts for today, and we have a fun show planned for you. It's been a little while since we've had a show. We had, I guess, Christmas and New Year's in between. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been a while. We've had some fun things happen that were game-related, some fun things that were not game-related, but we're going to stick to the games this week. And as promised, we're going to talk about some of the games that we liked in 2016.
We sure are.
So, darling, what in the world have we been doing?
What have we been doing? Since the last time we podcasted, I got a chance to go to the Worcester Gamer Group for a change. It normally meets on a day that we're busy.
Mm-hmm, right.
But we weren't. So I went. It was...
So this is Worcester, Massachusetts.
Worcester, Massachusetts. Yep. Yes.
We're in Central Mass area.
It was their holiday Yankee swap. So you were encouraged to bring a wrapped board game.
Mm-hmm. What did we bring? Did we bring Bioshock? What did we bring?
I brought Netrunner, which we've played and enjoyed, but it never really gets pulled out. If we're playing a two-player game, we're usually not looking for quite that level.
If we're playing a two-player game, we're exhausted and tired and want to play something.
So. Yeah. And I'm never going to play Twilight Struggle with you, and you have a friend to play Twilight Struggle with.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called my iPad.
Yeah, pretty much. So I brought Netrunner. Thankfully, the woman who picked it out was actually super excited to get it.
Oh, good.
And in return, I ended up getting a cute little card game called Zany Penguins.
Okay. We haven't played that yet.
We haven't played it yet. Because I heard that it is, while it is not child inappropriate, it's something we should try first with it before we let our kids try it.
Okay.
So we were too busy playing other games and didn't want to slow down to try that one.
Right.
But while I was there, it wouldn't be the Worcester Gamer Group without also actually playing games.
Right.
So before the Yankee swap, I convinced some people to play Guillotine, which was fun. It was nice to be able to introduce somebody to a new game because I saw it in a stacking and so I'm like, oh, hey, guys, this one's fit. This one's fast. We should play this.
Sure.
And then after the Yankee swap, somebody had gotten Lanterns, which I saw and I was super jealous, but he would not give it up. But I at least convinced him to open it up and play it.
Okay.
So I got to play Lanterns. Which was a lot of fun, and I would really like to get now.
Yeah, so Lanterns, for those who don't know, was actually played by the group on Tabletop, the YouTube show.
Yeah.
So if you Google Lanterns and Tabletop, you will actually be able to watch a 30-minute episode of Will Wheaton and his friends playing Lanterns, and you can get a really good sense of what the game is like.
It's one of those very zen kind of games. Mm-hmm. Like you're trying to outdo each other on points, and there's certainly strategy to it, but it's also just kind of beautiful to put all the pieces together and see how it shapes up.
Right. And if I'm not mistaken, that game was made by the same people who made World's Fair 1893.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I will look it up and put it in the show notes. So what are some other things we played over Christmas break and right after New Year's?
So we have a group of people that we get together. It's really just two families. It's us and this family. And we get together on New Year's every year. And we play games.
Yeah,
it's a thing we've been doing for the last couple of years. And this year was fun. We got together and we played.
That's three M's and an exclamation point.
Right. So this is we talked about this game a while ago. This is a game where you are, I guess you're playing as mice.
Yes.
And you need to cover up this food that's on the mat by. You roll dice, and they have different like food icons on them, and then there's a mat, and you have to cover up the food with tokens that kind of indicate that you've gotten, or you put the dice on, and then
you put the dice on,
and then once your turn's over, you replace the dice
because
with tokens.
It's a press your luck dice rolling game, but it's also cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
Because we played it just adults, we started right off on the harder side, but without some of the harder rule variations, and it was fun.
Right, so there's like. So the whole point of the game is that you are basically eating all of the food before the cat gets out of the kitchen.
Before the cat can come and catch you.
The cat gets into your area or whatever. So there's like 10 spots for the cat to move forward. Mm-hmm. And every time somebody takes a turn and does not finish covering up a piece of fruit or vegetable.
An entire piece of food, yeah.
The cat moves forward one. Yep. So it's a lot of balance where you're trying to make sure that you get things close to done, but not done, and you finish one thing.
Yeah.
Right? That's kind of the strategy, is to try to figure out how you can do that, and yeah, and pressing your luck. That was a fun game. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Definitely very straightforward. Definitely going to look forward to playing that one with the kids.
Yeah. I would say it definitely, it did not disappoint as a strategic cooperative game, but you could totally play it with a 3 or 4 year old.
Right.
So what else did we play with them? We played New York 1901 with them.
New York 19. I love that
game. Also awesome.
I'm a big fan of that game. That also is a game that I think would be a little bit more complicated for kids, so I don't think you could play with a 3 year old, but I think with our 5 and our 8 year old, you could probably manage it a little bit if you took out all of the extra rules about...
The extra bonusy rules.
Yeah, the extra bonusy stuff. And maybe you kind of relax the restrictions on building. You know, you have to get to a certain point threshold before you can build silver and, like that.
Maybe.
But certainly, I think some of the kind of geometry parts to it would be really thought-provoking for a 5 and an 8 year old.
Yeah, we should give it a try at some point. But
well, we should buy it first.
Yeah, we need to buy it before we can try it with our kids. Or possibly borrow it from our friends. We also played Batman Flux at our friend's house.
Yep, which is a pretty standard Flux variant. It had some slightly different things, but I think every Flux has something.
I'm not a huge fan of the whole creeper thing that's in the newer Flux variants. However, the Batman Flux was an interesting take on it. The newer variants of Flux have this creeper idea that if you have creepers in front of you, first of all, if you draw one, you have to play it immediately in front of you. But if you have creepers in front of you, you can't win.
Unless they're part of the
goal. Unless it's part of the goal. However, Batman Flux, because the creepers are all the Batman villains, if there are creepers out in front of anybody, you can't win. Right. Unless you have a special goal that calls for needing villains as part of the goal.
But yeah, I mean, it was still fun. It was an interesting little game. I also played something that night with one of our friends, like the other family's kids, which is a game that is coming out in 2017. I don't know how much I can talk about it, but it is basically a die-rolling baseball game, which was really, really a lot of fun. And you take turns, you know, being either the pitcher or the batter. And you roll dice to determine who gets hits or strikes or balls or whatever. And you work your way through a 3-inning game, and that's really enough.
Yeah, sure.
For the game. But it was a ton of fun. What is he, 10? He just turned 10. And, you know, the two of us were going back and forth. And
it is definitely a game for people who really like baseball. If you're kind of like, baseball, whatever, you probably would not get super into this game. But if you really like baseball, you would like this game.
Right. So we are friends with the creator of this game.
Yes.
The game is already on the docket to be published. So,
and when it is, we will let you know.
Definitely. There's also going to be a football game and possibly a soccer and basketball game.
Yeah.
They're all interesting variants on this kind of sports dice sort of thing. I don't know. I don't wanted to really say too much more.
Yeah. You guys were playing a prototype
baseball game.
Yeah.
But
it was fun. And
lots
you liked
of
it.
Fun. Super, super lots of fun.
And our friend's son also really liked it and was like, Can I keep it and play it some more?
So we left it there, and then he played it with his younger brother, and it was a good time. It was good times to be had by all. But I had to leave after that. I had to leave in the morning.
You had to leave
and
in
you
the morning.
Stayed around.
And I stayed around, and after breakfast, the kids all started running off and doing other things, and I sat down with the other two adults, and we played Battle Sheep. Battle Sheep is an area control game.
Okay.
It's actually pretty simple. First, you take turns kind of laying out the board so that there's a little bit of variation. It's not always it's a hex board, but it's not always a straight hexagon, because you can lay out these pieces kind of however you want, as long as they're touching. And then you have this giant stack of sheep tokens in your color, and you pick one spot on the board that is going to be your starting spot with your giant stack of tokens. On your turn, you split a stack of your sheep tokens however you want, can be 50-50, can be you leave one behind and take the rest, and move one piece of that stack in a straight line until you cannot move anymore.
Okay.
So basically straight line until you hit something.
Sure. Yep.
And that's the meat of the game. You're trying to get as close to putting all of your sheep down as you can. So it's area control.
I mean. Right.
The complication of you have to go until you hit something makes it interesting and challenging, especially when it's all adults playing, because you definitely want to try to map out your own little areas that you can block off and just save for later. Like, okay,
yeah, because if nobody can get in there,
because if nobody can get in there, then you can fill it in whenever you're ready.
Interesting, sure.
But it's such a simple concept that you can definitely play it with kids, and specifically, you can play with younger kids.
Right.
So it was really cool. Like, it seemed kind of awkward at first, but as soon as we got into it, like, they beat me, and they beat me well. But by the second game, I at least had enough of a hang of it to be like, okay, you know what, like, I made a mistake here and a mistake over there, but otherwise I did okay this time.
Sure.
So it was
cool.
It was a lot of fun.
That seems like a game I would find interesting. How many people can play that?
Up to four.
Okay. Neat.
So let's see, what else? Our kids played some more Rhino Hero with us over the Christmas break.
Yep.
Still a fun game.
Yeah, except for when our two-year-old thinks it's fun to try to knock the tower over.
You know what? I don't know what's worse, when he tries to knock the tower over or when he tries to play the game and set the cards on top and knocks it over.
Well, he's two.
He's two. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely the, well, yeah, he's two.
Right.
But if he's trying to play with us and put the cards down, then it's not just the people playing the game who get upset. He gets upset, too, because he wasn't trying to knock it down.
Right.
So then everybody's upset.
Understood.
Our kids also received a game called 5 Second Rule Junior.
Okay. So I don't know anything about this game, and I haven't seen them play it yet. I don't even know anything about the main game.
You were working when they were trying to work through how to play. I don't know how the regular 5 Second Rule works. I assume it's pretty similar.
Right.
Like most older style trivia games, there's a little board. You're trying to work your way to the end, and you get there by basically answering trivia questions and earning points.
Okay.
But instead of straight up trivia, it is you have a big interesting looking 5 second timer.
Okay.
And what you have to do is name off three whatever is in the category in that 5 seconds.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, looking at the rules, you can then, if you've gotten through and named three correctly, then the next person gets 5 seconds to also name three, but they can't duplicate any. And then the next person can have five seconds until somebody misses.
Sure.
Or it comes back around to the original.
So give me an example. Like Crayola colors, would that be an example? Like burnt sienna?
So something like farm animals.
Okay.
Name three farm animals.
Okay, sure.
Pig, cow, sheep.
Superheroes or...
Yeah. And, well, let's say farm animals. You know, pig, cow, sheep. Okay, next person. Duck, goose.
Chicken.
Yeah. You know, next person.
Fish.
Cat, fish, you know, whatever. And then, you know, obviously it gets harder as you go along. So that's the idea. And everybody who gets their three things in their 5 seconds gets to move up on the board.
Okay, cool.
So it's super simple. Mm-hmm. You don't even technically need to be able to read as long as there's at least two people in the group who can read. Because you need to be able to trade off.
A moderator. Like the kids could play and you could just kind of be there and read to them.
But it's fun. It was a little frustrating.
Okay.
Because we have a child who can't read.
Sure.
And he's getting there, but he's not quite there yet.
Right.
So, but overall good. Part of the interest factor here is definitely that the 5 second timer is not your standard sand timer.
Okay.
You wouldn't think it makes a big difference, but it does. It's like one of those moo cow things when you turn it over, it makes a meow.
Yeah.
So that gives you the start time. And then it's full of all these tiny little ball bearings that filter down. So you can hear when it stops after the 5 seconds.
Okay. Sure.
So cool. It was neat.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
We also finally got back to playing Pandemic Legacy.
Yeah, I was amazed when we looked at it. We're like, oh, look, the last time we played was in February.
Yeah, so.
All right, quite, so December.
Quite the awesome. Gap. But we kind of moved some of the players around a little bit, so I think we'll have a little bit more success actually trying to get through this game.
I think we will. I had forgotten just how much fun we have, even with the, or maybe because of the permanence factor, that like there's that extra sort of like, we gotta do it, we gotta do it, come on, let's beat this thing.
Right, you know? So there's something in Pandemic Legacy Season 1 that I don't want to spoil, but basically... We had your character on like crisis control in South America while everybody else ran around and did all the disease curing.
Yeah.
But it was okay. I mean, like, I'm sure from your perspective, it was probably a little bit frustrating that you weren't like going out and doing interesting things, but it
definitely had that.
It was so clearly
like,
critical that
Hey guys, I totally got this.
Yeah. It was so critically important that you did what you did. That it definitely worked out with everyone.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That was pretty fun. So it was fun. We did successfully beat March.
We did.
Without dying first.
Yep. So we'll move on. The next time we play, we'll move on to April.
Yeah.
But with basically no money or extra resources whatsoever.
I think we get like one.
I'll have to double check. But
yeah, I don't remember.
I think we get none.
I don't remember. So. Either way, I mean, the game, it's cool. One of the things I really like about Legacy is it's almost like a difficulty balance in,
yes.
in when you lose a month, you can play it over again, but you get a little bit more resources to kind of help you along. And if you win the month, then when you do the next month, you kind of get less resources. And it does a really good job of kind of trying to balance out the difficulty without changing, obviously,
the core
mechanics. You can't change the story, right? So
yeah.
That I really liked a lot. I'm really looking forward to Pandemic Legacy Season 2 and maybe Seafall, although I'm not sure.
Getting less excited about Seafall.
Well, I just think it's a super complicated game
is
the problem. And people need to, from what I have read, it's totally worth the voyage if you're willing to take the voyage.
Mm.
So
fair enough. Let's see, what else? I have been playing more Stories of the Path of Destinies. I know we talked about it last time because you went through it and you beat it.
Yep, yeah, I probably got like, what, 5 or 6 of the endings? Maybe 1 or 2 more or less.
I've gone through 5 at this point and I still need to go through the game at least 2 more times to beat it. Probably more because I'm not real great at figuring out exactly the strategic way to go
through. So you haven't unlocked the fourth truth?
I have not unlocked the fourth truth yet.
Okay. I don't know that we had a really good idea of how the mechanics of the game worked in terms of game completion last time, so I'm just going to touch on it really quickly.
Sure.
So the game is periods of action punctuated by a decision point, kind of like a choose-your-own-adventure, and then you would play the chapter that relates to whatever decision you made. What I don't think I knew last time or had realized was all of the endings on that, there's like a grid of like 20 endings, mm-hmm. are broken up into which truths they reveal. So there's 4 key truths that you basically need to know, have figured out before you are able to kind of make the right decisions for like the ultimate excellent, super duper great, everybody
you
is happy, you
ending.
Win the game ending.
Rather than the other 20 something, which are all something went catastrophically wrong.
Right. And I am still not really clear on whether or not it is actually legitimately impossible to win the game without learning the truths or not. But certainly once you have all 4 of them, it kind of directs you in the right way to go.
It is certainly not possible to win the game on your first play.
Okay.
Because there are certain choices that only open up to you once you've learned some truths.
Okay. So, but all in all, I thought they did a really good job of crafting a story around a relatively limited number of set pieces.
Yeah.
Without it feeling, I mean, I think for me, by the very end, it was getting a little bit iterative,
a little tedious at the
but
end,
it wasn't bad. It really wasn't. And, you know, every time you went through, you had a different reason for going to all these places.
Right.
And so, it was, I guess, a little bit of that kind of Metroidvania sort of, you've gone through with more knowledge.
Well,
sort
and
of thing.
I don't know if you noticed, but, like you said, there's a limited number of set pieces. I think there's basically five or six worlds that you can go through. But the thing is that making different choices will sometimes drop you in the same world, but going through it from a different direction.
Yes, that is true. And sometimes there will be a door that either is a door or is some kind of impassable barrier. And sometimes it won't be there or something like that, you know, in order to get you to go through different things. So. So you've been playing that?
I've been playing that, and I like that I can hack and smash my way through without it being the combat being too difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You have been playing Completionist with
Rise of the Tomb Raider. It's I've actually pretty much 100%ed the game. I'm just doing the bonus, like Croft Manor bonus stuff at this point, and I'll probably transition over to the remake of Mirror's Edge. Soon, or go back to Fallout 4. But talking about video games, we had picked up a while ago, there was a super duper sale at Walmart on Disney Infinity.
Yes, so and we picked up a 2.0 pack.
Yeah, we bought the 2.0 starter pack because it was like $10.
Which comes with three Marvel characters.
Yep, three Marvel characters. It comes with, I think, Stark Tower and, you know, and the 2.0 game, and I think it also comes with one of those portals that we didn't really need, but it was a cheap way to get some more stuff. We already had 1.0 and a bunch of stuff wrapped around that. We never bothered to get 2 or 3. So now we have 2.
And our kids got Toys R Us, our older kids got Toys R Us gift cards as part of their Christmas gifts.
Right.
So I took them to Toys R Us on the last day of Christmas vacation. I took them to Toys R Us, and they both had picked out some stuff that they were interested in. And I was like, you know what, guys? Let's go over to the electronics section and see what they got for Disney Infinity.
Right.
Well, right at the end of December, beginning of January, all of the Disney Infinity stuff, including 3.0, was 75% off.
Mm-hmm.
So my kids were super excited. And our son got the last Incredible Hulk in the store for $4.
Woohoo.
And our daughter got Elsa and Anna from Frozen
right.
for like $8.
Yeah, well, that was like a set, right?
It was just a two pack.
But that's the Frozen set. But there is no world for it.
But it's not even that there wasn't that there's not a world. There wasn't any extras or anything. It was just the two characters.
Sure.
No power discs or anything like that.
So the reason why we got Disney Infinity 2.0 for so cheap, and the reason why all the Disney Infinity stuff is 75% off, is because Disney has announced that they're not doing Disney Infinity anymore.
Yep. And in fact, I saw in Toys R Us, I don't know if it is the new Disney like world-building game or if it's just a newer Disney world-building game, but they're definitely starting to push a different
What is it? I really wasn't paying attention.
I was mostly just like, nope, that's not Disney Infinity. We're going to come over there.
Is it figures or something? Or?
Yeah, still with figures. I had never seen it before, so it kind of caught my eye, but I was also trying to...
And it's not a Skylanders thing or a Lego Dimensions thing?
No, it was definitely Disney branded.
Huh.
It was definitely not Lego. It was definitely not Skylanders.
Now I'm really curious. I have no idea what you're talking about. So
I had never seen it before, so I was a little surprised. Weird. But like I said, I was in Toys R Us with two young children who wanted to spend their money, so I wanted to get them to an area where they could actually spend their money.
Sure. Okay. I'm going to look into that. I'm really curious, and I'm sure we'll come back with something else.
The other thing I learned from this experience is that at least at Toys R Us, Toys to Life now have their whole own area of the store.
I don't know why. Not, I mean, it's the stuff is dying out. Like Skylanders is probably pretty much done.
I know, but the Lego one seems to be going
Lego
strong.
Dimensions. Yeah, I just think they're so late to the party that
I don't know. But
yeah, we'll see.
But they had their whole section right on the edge of the electronics section. So it was not in with the other video games. It was not in the same place as the Amiibos, which, by the way, had their own dedicated wall. but it was definitely its own set of like two or three aisles. Yeah. So we were super excited. There were a couple of figures that the kids saw that they really wanted that were 3.0. And I was like, yeah, nope, not happening. Not going to work. And I am not paying for the 3.0 game. But
was the game 75% off too?
I didn't see the game anywhere on the shelf. Okay. It was only the figures.
Okay. Well, I'll keep an eye out for that.
Yeah.
You know me.
I will say, for anybody who has played Disney Infinity in the past, there are some nice new features to 2.0 since I've been watching my kids play it ad nauseum as much as I will let them.
Sure.
One of the big ones is that now you can have extra little mini game power disc things that you buy, like that give you specific challenges based on a certain world.
Okay.
Since we have the Avengers set, it came with two little Avengers sure. challenges, which are different than the main storyline plot mode, which our kids are not interested in at all.
That makes me sad, but okay.
They don't like that kind of style of play. It's too challenging for them to play together, and they don't really want to do it separately.
Okay.
But also, they've really ramped up the amount of customization you can do. And they've added the idea of both doing interior spaces and exterior spaces, which they didn't have in the old one.
Cool. So they've added a lot to the toy box.
Yes.
Cool.
And they have a bunch of pre-built like starter concept worlds as well.
Cool. Which
make building a little easier.
Cool. Pretty neat stuff for a game that's no longer around.
Yeah. Well, if you're interested.
Yeah, this stuff's super cheap. Like look it up.
Toys R Us is basically putting it on a different kind of sale every couple of weeks. Right now it's on buy one, get two free.
I like it.
So, yeah, if you are interested and if you think your kids would probably like something Minecraft-y, but maybe with a Disney theme, totally pick it up. Sweet. Before it goes away.
Anything see, what else? Last night we played Takenoko with our kids again.
We did.
I love that game. That game is a fun game to play with children.
Our both of our sons, the 6-year-old and the 2-year-old, both love playing with the bamboo. and making the panda eat the bamboo.
Yeah, we had to kind of give our 2-year-old his own little stack of bamboo to pile up and knock over, and
yeah,
then he ran around and whatever. And but.
Threw it on the floor and picked it up again.
Yep. So we've talked about Takenoko before.
Plenty of times.
It's a wonderful game, tile laying game. We like it.
I look forward to playing it more and more with our children because it's one of those games that does lend itself well to a whole range of ages.
Yep, I agree. That's a lot of stuff.
So that's all kinds of stuff that we've been doing since the last time we podcasted.
Oh,
doesn't
man.
Seem like it's been that long, but we've
really
packed
doesn't.
In a lot of stuff.
Really, really doesn't seem like it's been that long. It's been so much stuff, in fact, that I've come up with things that I've wanted to say and have forgotten them.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, we are going to step away for a minute, and when we come back, we will talk about our favorite games from 2016.
We will. See you then.
And we're back.
Welcome back.
I remember the thing that I forgot that I came up with
yes.
while we were talking. So there's a bunch of cool stuff. So CES was last week, Consumer Electronics Show, and mm-hmm. a lot of really cool things came out of it, including something from Lego. There's a thing called Lego Boost, which is coming out in 2017.
Oh, yeah.
So Lego Boost is basically sort of...
It's sort of Lego Mindstorm-ish.
Yeah, Lego Mindstorm Junior.
Yeah.
Is kind of the best way that yeah. I could describe it. They're a little bit less expensive. Like the Mindstorm stuff is in the multiple hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
These retail in the 100s.
Well, the reason they're less expensive is because with the Lego Boost, you're outsourcing all of the computing power to your smartphone or
right.
tablet.
Right. So it looks really cool. I don't really have a lot of information about it. The details were kind of spotty because it was like the CES announcement.
Sure.
I did reach out to Lego. Did I tell you I got a response from them?
You did tell me.
Yeah,
you
it
got
was pretty generic, and I'm
yeah,
not.
Well.
My hopes are not high.
they were basically like, "Yeah, we're really excited for Lego Boost too."
Yeah, I'm like, it's not really what I said in the email, but that's fine.
That's all right.
Whatever. But yeah, we've. I mean, we at the Family Games, we have a ton of stuff going on first half 2017. Yeah. So
do you want to give a quick rundown?
I'm going to Toy Fair, going to PAX, hopefully having a panel at PAX. You're going to Granite State Game Summit, hopefully. Is there more?
New games, more reviews.
Oh yeah, Switch is coming out. Nintendo Switch announcements happening tomorrow night.
Nintendo Switch.
So next podcast we'll be talking about the Switch.
I wish I was less excited. I'm unnaturally excited.
I am excited that you are excited because it means I don't have to make a case for buying this thing. That makes me very happy. Like, we are we're having a Nintendo Switch live stream viewing party. A friend of ours is coming over and we're going to watch the Nintendo Switch
Yeah, that's
together.
That's a little too nerdy for me.
And we were trying
I'll
to
poke
find
my head in.
More of an adult thing, not a family gamer thing, but we're trying to find like drinks that would be thematically appropriate. And we couldn't find anything, but there's a local brewery, Wormtown Brewery.
Yeah.
So we're going to get a couple of different ones that we can switch between.
I was going to say, I think probably your closest, you know, adult beverage that would go with the theme would be either a sake.
Okay,
or,
sure. I mean, sure.
Or like a mead going with sort of the fantasy Zelda type theme.
I guess. I don't know.
Those
so
are what
so
come
we're
going to
gonna switch between different things. That's what we're going to do. You know, one for the road. Not one for the road. No. That's illegal. Do not do that.
We are doing this in our house for a reason.
So anyway, so just a couple, you know, it's going to be a fun 2017. I can already tell. So, yeah. As far as 2016 goes, you were saying that there's a lot of stuff that you like, but you weren't really sure if you had a favorite game of 2016.
Yeah, I don't know. We played a lot of games. There were a lot of games I liked. Nothing really stands out to me.
So though. I have three games.
Okay.
I have my favorite like kids game.
Okay.
That came out in 2016.
Okay.
I have my favorite kind of like adult game.
Mm-hmm.
That came out in 2016.
I bet I know which one that is. Go on.
And I have another game, which is something I'm pretty sure did not come out in 2016, but it's one of the most fun games that I played this year.
Okay. We'll go for it.
Okay. What game do you think is my favorite game that came out in 2016?
Codenames.
No, Codenames came out in 2015. I do like Codenames
so close,
a bit.
Though.
Highly recommend it. It's super cheap online. I definitely recommend you go there. My favorite game that came out for an adult in 2016 is World's Fair 1893.
All right, fair enough. Came out in 2016.
Yep.
We first played it in 2015 when we were looking at the prototype versions. But yeah. Yes.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. We did.
But
we got,
but yes,
we
but
got the completed game in 2016.
That's true.
It is a game that is now available to purchase on the Amazon. Highly recommend it. Love it a lot. It's
big fan.
It's a kind of one of those things where there's good historical information in the game that doesn't impede gameplay, so it's not like you're like, I have to learn this stuff in order for this game to be any good or in order for me to be more effective at the game. It doesn't really affect you in any way, but you can learn interesting things while you're doing it. And there's a book that multiple people have told me about that follows
the building of the Chicago World's Fair.
Yeah, and the Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
And it's like following, like there's a mass murderer or something that was at the fair, and it's like kind of following the investigation of him. I have no idea what the name of the book is, but if you Google a bunch of that stuff, I've heard the book is really good.
All right.
And
noted.
Maybe we'll put
going
that
on
in
the Amazon
notes.
Wish list.
Yep.
Once I find it.
Yeah, because now you know that I like that historical nonfiction stuff, as long as it's well written. So,
mm-hmm.
So that was my favorite adult game that was released in 2016.
All right, all right. Was your favorite kids game in 2016 something put out by Game Right?
It was, in
How
fact.
Well I know you.
That would be Dragonwood. Dragonwood was released in 2016.
That was early 2016.
Early 2016 was the official release of that game. This is a game we've talked about. Reviews on the site.
Yep.
Check it out, thefamilygamers.com. Actually, you can go to thefamilygamers.com/getdragonwood if you want to pick up a copy of that game. Wonderful,
highly recommend it.
Wonderful game for kids. Yep. Love it. Love it. I'm going to add a party game to the list, which also was made by Game Right, which also came out this year. And you know what game that is.
That is probably my favorite game of 2016. It is Bring Your Own Book. We've talked about it many times.
Yes. Love it. Good game. My game that I have decided that I had a lot of fun playing this year, which did not come out this year,
mm-hmm.
is Lords of Waterdeep.
I wish I was surprised.
Yeah, it's just good stuff.
That's going to be top of your list for year or something.
It's a great game. That's why.
I mean, it's fun. Hmm? I have fun. It's not in my favorites, but it's a fine game.
I also really want to play the expansion to Tesla versus Edison. That's something that we picked up.
We have it. We haven't played it yet.
Maybe we'll bring that on our trip. We're going on a trip soon.
Mm, that could be fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's, we tried to keep this part of the show short.
Because the first part of the show was way longer than we expected it to be. So that's going to be it for us this week. If you would like to let us know what your favorite games of 2016 were, you can find us on Facebook at
facebook.com/familygamersaa.
Yep. You can leave comment on the show if you would like to. The show post at thefamilygamers.com.
Yep. And click the podcast link.
Yep.
Or you could always tweet us at familygamersaa.
Yep.
On the Twitters.
Right. Or, you know what, if you just want to email us, you can email me, andrew@thefamilygamers.com.
Or me, Anitra, A-N-I-T-R-A, @thefamilygamers.com. You can also always, always find us on iTunes.
It's true. So every new year, like at the beginning of the year, every year, people make these, what do they call those things?
New Year's resolutions.
Resolutions, thank you. They make New Year's resolutions. And I think an excellent resolution for 2017 would be you to subscribe to some new podcasts.
Yes.
And one of those new podcasts, I think, should be the Family Gamers podcast.
I think your resolution should be to go and leave a review on iTunes for the podcast you listen to. Not just us, other podcasts too.
I think that's fair. That's nice.
They all need you.
All right. So, yeah, definitely. So, subscribe to us on iTunes.
Yep.
And then go to our little page there and click the write a review button and leave us a couple of words. Let us know how we are doing. If there's things you like, things you don't like, whatever it might be. We definitely will read those. I actually check them weekly.
Yeah.
So.
We greatly desire your feedback.
Mm-hmm. We really, really do. So, that's going to be it for us this week.
Yep.
So until next time, play games with your kids.